accounts of soldiers during World War I record the frequent inspecting of other soldiers' feet as part of their duties. They would check for sores and other problems on the feet that would lead to what was called trench foot. Trench foot was a list of foot-related medical problems that would lead to gangrene and eventually to the removal of infected areas of the foot. And because of that, soldiers needed to take care of their feet and take care of the feet of other soldiers. It was an important part of a military strategy to have warm socks and dry boots and proper inspection for all that were soldiers within the military. Now, knowing that and understanding that necessity, it's not surprising to us that as we have worked our way through the armor of God in Ephesians 6, that it's not a surprise that we should come to a place where Paul would mention feet, and Paul would mention proper shoes for those that would be serving as soldiers. So as we have been meditating over the last several weeks on the Christian soldiers' army and what it means for us to go into battle as Christians, the spiritual battle, of course, one of the meditations that we are to think on and to reflect on is that of the place that shoes play in that preparation. Today we look at Ephesians 6:15, and we see shoes of readiness. Now I'll read that verse one more time. It says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The word shod is putting on the shoe. So maybe a little archaic word you can incorporate into your vocabulary. Shodding. So here in our text, as we meditate on what it means to be prepared for the Christian life and this battle that we call the Christian life, we see that our shoes are to help us. Your shoes help with readiness, and they are connected, as we'll see, to the gospel. Now, we began, as we looked at this armor, we began with looking some at our enemy, and we've given something of a reflection or a meditation on what it means to be fighting a spiritual battle. The apostle here tells us that our enemy is the devil, and we've talked about three enemies in the church. We've talked about the world, we've talked about the flesh, and we've talked about the devil. And then we moved into the armor itself. We gave beginning with an overview, and then we've looked at the belt of truth, and then the breastplate of righteousness, and today the shoes of readiness. And the shoes that are here mentioned are the common shoes that Roman soldiers would wear into battle. And they were used for marching, and they were used for preparation for battle. When you get the image of what these shoes are, you may think they're sandals, or they look like sandals, but they're not actually sandals because they have ties that run all the way up the calf to secure the shoe to the foot, and then the bottom of the soles is hobnailed. So there's nails that are placed in the bottom of the sole so that there would be traction for those that are marching in them, and then for those that would go into battle. Now, these are not just shoes that you would wear to the around the house. They're not shoes that you would wear to the market. They are shoes specifically for battle or specifically for fighting. Now, we don't often think of the ancient world in the same way that we think of our own, but people are people. The things that we see in the scriptures that relate to humanity, those are things that we can all apply to ourselves. And here we know that as we think about shoes, we think about shoes depending on their purpose. Like if you go to buy shoes, if you're going to buy running shoes, you're not going to buy the same shoes to run in that are going to be your dress shoes. You know, there's different shoes for walking and tennis and work and golf. They all have different functions. And the ancient world was the same. These shoes are shoes for combat. They are shoes that are known for the centurion. So when we read here, church, there's something you can learn from these shoes. There's something here that relates to your faith. There's something here that reminds you that you are in a war. What do we learn? What are our reflections? What are the things that we can take home with us as we think about this and our readiness given by the gospel of peace? So let's meditate on these. And the first thing that we can learn is that these are shoes to stand firm against attack. Shoes to stand firm against attack. These are shoes that added to the confidence of the soldier in his abilities in defense as well as his abilities in marching. So remember, we've already been told to stand, withstand, to stand while you stand. And these shoes are helpful in preparing for this. They're traction for the Christian life. Having a sure footing and a good grip and a firmness as you stand. These are important aspects of a soldier's life and important aspects of the Christian faith as well. You cannot have a good defense if you're sliding around or if you are unable to stand firm. We sing about that in the Psalter from time to time, having a sure footing or having feet like a deer that are in high places and sure places. These shoes are the readiness of the gospel of peace, and that readiness in your defense in the Christian life is the ability to stand firm. Do you have that readiness as a Christian? When it comes to defense, do you have that readiness of mind and heart as you think about the Christian life? There is something of a defensiveness here. And what that means is that the world is going to come at you. And the scriptures call us to be ready to defend where we stand, to defend what we believe. There's a readiness that you are called to have. Now, as you think about the gospel and preparation, as you think about this readiness and this defense, here's maybe something that you could do this week to think through your readiness. Maybe pick a person in your life, maybe your husband, your wife, a good friend, a brother, sister, whatever it is, and see if you can sit down and share the gospel with them in, say, 10 minutes. If somebody said, Christianity, that seems important to you, you know, I'd rather sleep in on Sunday or go to this game or do something else. Christianity seems to be really important to you. Could you give me the 10-minute reason? And can you do that? Can you work through why you believe this to be true? You know, maybe you are a news junkie, and maybe in this week leading up to today, you've seen that nationally, newspapers have something talking about Christianity this week. You know, the celebration of Easter and talking about what it means to be a Christian, and these things make their way into the news. I mean, there was an NPR article this week that talked about the history of Easter and its connections, and then it quickly went into Peeps and all you can do with Peeps. But the point is, as you think about those things, and as the world comes against you and says, this is a fairy tale, or this is just a pagan myth repackaged, or this is something that's unable to be defended historically, are you able to look here at Ephesians 6 and say, the shoes have called me to readiness, and I'm able to stand firm? I'm able to say that I believe, and that I trust, and that I know what I believe. Friends, this means that you must know the gospel. You must know the reasons why you set aside time for coming to church. What does this mean to you? Are you ready, as the scriptures call you to be ready? This readiness given is by the gospel of peace. And friends, as you seek peace as a Christian, as you are here in this battle for the Christian life, in this battle of the Christian soul, which I've illustrated from week to week as your alarm clock going off on Monday morning, as you enter into that battle, is the gospel something able to give you stability and peace in the midst of that battle? The gospel of peace prepares you to stand firm and to be stable and to be able to have that posture that digs your heels in, saying, no matter what is going on with the world around me, no matter what sort of ways that the culture shifts in ways that are strange and unknown, I'm able to stand firm on the gospel, believing the word of God and trusting in a resurrected Christ in the midst of it. Our shoes are to stand firm against attack. Your readiness is this defense. But these shoes are useful beyond defense only. As we think about the use of these shoes, we also are able to see that these shoes are for the engagement of the enemy. The engagement of the enemy. We see the defensive use of them. They help us to stand. They have the hobnails that allow us to have a sure footing. But they're also used for engagement. They have a purpose beyond just standing in place. The shoes on the feet of the soldier are designed so that the soldier would march, and so that the soldier would travel, and that so the soldier would go to engage the enemy. It's one thing for us to just sit around and say, well, I'm ready for engagement, and just wait for it to come to us. The soldier's shoes are for the soldier to go and to engage as well. You see, Christianity is not for cowards. Christianity is a religion where Jesus is raised from the dead, and upon his resurrection from the dead, he calls the disciples to himself, and as he calls them, he says to them, he says, well, you know, we could just go and build a monastery on some mountain, and you could go there and you could be disciples from there. But that's not what he says. He says to those 12 men to go to the corners of the earth and to teach them and to teach all the nations of the world whatsoever I have commanded you, all of it, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. You see, Christianity is not for cowards. Christianity goes without fear into all parts of the world and even into all fields of study and into all vocations. And the soldiers who make up the Christian church go into all of those corners of the earth. It was interesting to me in my reading of the scriptures this week that as the Apostle Paul gives greetings to various churches when he reaches the end of an epistle, you know, he says, I bring greetings from this person and this person and this person. One that stood out to me is he brings greetings from all of those who are in Caesar's house. You know, what's that tell you? It tells you that by the first century, the church of Christ had made its way into the home of Caesar. That Caesar could have been interacting with stewards or with household servants or slaves or whoever is there serving Caesar. That the gospel was there. It had made its way even into those homes. And friends, think about that. Think about that. How just a few years earlier, Jesus had been tried and put to death and buried, and the religious leaders of the day, as well as the political leaders of the day, clean their hands and they say, well, we've put that one to bed. 3 days, he's raised from the dead, and then within 40 days, the disciples are sent to the four corners of the world. Thomas going in one direction, making his way into India. And the Apostle Paul, who comes later, of course, from Rome, saying, my goal is to make it to Spain. Think about that. Within a short period of time, as the engagement of the enemy goes forth, as Christians are called to put on their big boy shoes and to go and to fight spiritually. Again, this isn't taking up arms. It's a spiritual thing. That Christianity within a generation makes itself as far east as India and as far west as Spain. From Central Asia to Europe, Christianity expands within one generation. And why is that? It's because Jesus Christ called for an engagement of the enemy. Not to just build monasteries and places where we could sit around and sip lattes or sip IPAs and discuss theology, even though those things are fine. But we are called to go and to engage the world with the gospel. And again, that's all places, it's all nations, it's all vocations. It means that that is a call for the artists and the engineers. It is a call for the house moms and those that work in grocery stores. It is a call for the educators and the firemen and the police officers. It is a call for engagement for those that work in hospitals and those that work in forests or business or whatever it is. We go forth with the gospel into the fields where we have been called, acknowledging that we are to engage. Years prior to this, one prophet said, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, and the produce of the olive in the fields bear no fruit, and no flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Friends, despite the fact that war is never fun, and despite the fact that the battles of this life, the ordinary Christian life, we can wrestle against, and you do wrestle against discouragements and hardships and trials and difficulties, and this is your life, despite all of these things, despite the facts that at times it appears that the culture around us is crumbling, and in case you missed it, it's crumbling. Despite these things, you are equipped with the gospel. You are equipped with a message of a resurrected Jesus Christ, one who has beat death and who has beat hell. And with that truth, you are called to engage the enemy. You are called to fight the battle. You are called to go into the culture, and you are called to fight. Now, there will be times when the fig tree will not blossom. There will be no fruit. There will be times when there are no flocks in the fields, and it seems as though the Lord has cut you off. But be encouraged, because the Lord is your strength. And with the shoes in place, your feet are ready to engage. To engage high places. See, the gospel prepares you to interpret the world properly. The gospel prepares you to understand the times in which you live. The gospel prepares you with this message of truth. The Christian life is a battle, and we fight despite the fact that you may be prone to discouragement or not seeing the end game or not realizing that your promises of engagement are promises of victory, and that the cross is at the center of all of these battles in the Christian life. We read from Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, we have the one who runs forth to declare victory in the battle. And the image is that they're there, and the city is waiting for news of the battle. And they see the runner far off, the one who has been sent from ahead to bring news. And he's running, And the city looks off and they see the one who's running, the herald. And they say, oh, how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. They know from his running the message that he brings. And what is the message of the herald? Your God reigns. It is a message of victory that despite the battle around us and despite the crumbling of society and despite your personal failures and despite your own sin and despite the ways that you fail as a Christian and despite the fact that things are not going as you hope they would go, that there is that herald running in the distance. We have hope. Your God reigns. The church is to go with that simple message of victory. You are called to go forth with this preparedness and this truth of the gospel at the center of engagement and at the center of all of this spiritual war that we've been talking about, all of this battle. You go forth with those words, your God reigns. You remember the hymn that Martin Luther wrote as he was called to the Diet of Worms, a mighty fortress. And in that hymn he says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. Friends, the devil falls at that one word, your God reigns. The gospel is that triumph over all of sin and over all of death and over all of wickedness. The gospel shoes prepare you for battle. They call you into battle. And the question is, are you marching? Are you traveling? Are you moving ahead with that message of victory into whatever corner of the world God calls you to? Are you engaging with that one little word? We see that these shoes are for standing and that these shoes are for engaging. But we also see that these shoes are to comfort the soldier. Shoes of comfort. And in this aspect of readiness given by the gospel of peace, we see that there is comfort provided as well. How is the gospel preparing you for the battle that is the Christian life? How is it preparing you for the days ahead? And most importantly, how is it preparing you for eternity? You see, shoes are not just for style. You see, a lot of young people wearing Doc Martens. Anyone have Doc Martens on today? No, not one of you has a pair of Doc Martens on. Doc Martens were military boots, British military boots, that are now for style. You see, the boots of a soldier are not merely cosmetic. They're not just intended to make a soldier look cool or to make a soldier look tough. They are intended to prepare and they are intended to assist with duties. But they are also so that the soldier will be safe and protected and comforted. Why is this aspect important as we meditate on these shoes? It's important because each one of you here are called to be right with God. You must all come to this place within your spiritual life where you've examined your heart and you've looked at yourself and you've thought about your baptism and you've looked to the scriptures and you look to the state of your own soul and you realize that without the gospel, without a resurrected Christ, you will not stand. You are unprepared. Friends, you must realize that the gospel of peace is only good news because it is so far beyond what any of you, including me, it is so far beyond what you deserve. It is good news. Because if we were to do it ourselves, if we were just sent out to fight as a vigilante, we would be done. Or if you were to stand before God alone and naked and with your own sin, you will not stand. The Puritan William Gurnall said that the comfort of the gospel is equates its surpassing goodness with a swine receiving a crown for an inheritance. It is unanticipated and so full of goodness. Friends, these shoes prepare you before they ever have any value in the battle. The gospel must comfort you, and the gospel must keep you safe before you have applications to make in the Christian life. You must know that we were made, humanity was made perfect and in communion with God, and we sinned. We fell away from that communion. And the gospel says that God comes down and takes us and supplies for our needs, pays for our sin. And we hold on to that and we rest in that. Friends, you must begin with union with Christ. The gospel of peace is that we are at peace with God first and foremost. Jesus told us that if our feet are clean, our whole body is clean. You must be made right with God. And in the same way, you must be washed. You must be brought into that union and then have communion with God and cleansed as we are prepared for this battle. It begins with a new heart and union with Christ. And again, I would encourage you to examine yourself. Are you at peace with God? If these are the shoes of the gospel of peace, are you at peace with God? And if you are not, these shoes are not yours. Think back to Ephesians 2, verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who who were near. Friends, Christ is central to this peace, and the preaching of this peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. It is so that men and women, boys and girls, could be right with God. And your readiness begins with a right heart, that you would go into this battle redeemed. Choose to stand firm and choose to engage and choose for comfort. This is all that has been provided to us by a living Christ. Amen. Father, we are grateful for all that you have provided for us. Help us, O Lord, today and throughout our lives to be people of gratitude, bringing glory to the Son for all that has been done for us. And may we be ready to engage in this life as we prepare for the life to come. Amen. Let's